This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening, Joy listeners. It's Brian Andy here. And we're going to have to change that intro sometime soon because Kath isn't with us this week, unfortunately. We're joined again by the amazing Emma, who is going to be our new co-host here on Lifty Pinkers. How you going, Emma?
Good, thanks, Brian.
Yeah, what have you been up to this
week?
No, I mean, we're grateful that you're coming in and adding your wonderful voice to the Joy airwaves. But how's your week been anyway?
It's been good. Just, you know, been on a bit of a high since my first radio show last week, so Just soaking that up.
Were you nervous last week? Or?
I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Same goes a little bit tonight, I suppose. But nervous, but excited to be here. So
yeah, you're doing great, though. Like, I mean, it's great to have you here with us. And I guess it's going to be a really warm night tonight because we've got a wonderful artist in the studio who joins us, Marie Clark. We're going to be chatting to her, and I guess Marie is an old friend of mine. And like, I love the arts. I love, you know, being an Aboriginal person myself, I love our culture and our heritage. And Marie is somebody that's dedicated to, I guess, maintaining and reviving and practicing traditional Aboriginal art practices. And she has done a lot of stuff around, I guess, jewellery, in making jewellery, traditional jewellery, but also around, I guess, processes around, I guess, ceremony. I'm just thinking of her Kopi caps that were presented as part of Melbourne Now recently at the National Gallery of Victoria. But yeah, Marie's, a dear old friend, a warm old friend that always calls you lovey whenever she greets you. And so it's going to be a really interesting, lovely night tonight. And it's really nice to kind of have you in here, Emma, to have a bit of a yarn to her. And
thanks.
But yeah, like, I mean, what do you think about, I mean, you've done some research into Marie, but what do you think?
From that point of view, I went to see an exhibition that Marie's got work displayed in on the weekend at 45 downstairs, and was just saying to Marie before the show how much I loved it, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it tonight. I'm fascinated by the process that's gone into the making of the jewellery, so excited to hear a bit more about that from you tonight.
Beautiful. And we've lined up some music. We're thinking, I'm Aboriginal, Marie's Aboriginal, so we thought we'd put a lineup of great Aboriginal music from across the country. And so we're going to kick off with a bit of Jess Malboy. We know you, Joy 94.9 listeners, love her. So here's her track, Get 'em Girls.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here with Brian and Emma, and we're going to be chatting to Marie Clark. But before we ask a few questions in the Lefty Pinkos style, we've got a message, haven't we, Emma?
We do. We've got a message from Kath, who's listening.
What's she reckon?
She thinks I sound great next to you, Brian.
Yep. Must agree.
So go Lefty Pinkos. We're going to hear from Kath a little bit later. She's going to write in with another question, so we'll look forward to that then.
Yes, but in the studio at the moment, we've got the amazing Marie Clark, who is an Aboriginal woman, an artist who has done some amazing artworks in the sense of, you know, cultural practices, reviving them. She's even done some public art installations in a few of the major city councils out around Melbourne. Her work, I guess, has extended to places like Berlin, Italy, Amsterdam, from memory, and she's also presented stuff in London. And she joins us here tonight to talk about her practice, her culture, her heritage. She just got married on the weekend too, which is going to be interesting. Might have to grill you about that one, Marie. But welcome to Lefty Pinkos. It's great to have you in here.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks, Emma. Great to be here.
And I guess, tell us about your practice, because I've talked about jewellery and that cultural revival stuff, but how would you define yourself as an artist?
I think possibly, multi-discipline artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I tell people that I'm an artist, they generally say, oh, do you paint? Do you do dot paintings? And it's like, no, I don't.
Yes.
So I do a whole range of things, not only jewellery and reviving, or I like to go into museums and research different objects and items and recreate those in the old way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where'd this come from? Like, what drives you to do it?
Oh, I think it's like learning cultural knowledge and practices and passing those on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a passion that's stuck with me for years, and I love doing that. So now, rather than, pardon me, just working here in Australia with our own collections here, we also have collections all over the world. So I've also travelled to Europe and all around the place and researched our material cultural items in museums and come back to Australia and learn the whole process of making those objects again.
What sort of objects have you recreated?
The kangaroo tooth necklace.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one was in Melbourne Now, which was the biggest necklace. That was 121 teeth.
Wow.
I researched that at the Melbourne Museum, and I think they've got around, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 necklaces. So going in there and taking detailed photos and just seeing how they're put together. And so using kangaroo skin, kangaroo sinew from the tail, and the two bottom incisor teeth from the kangaroo, and actually binding that all together to create an object is pretty incredible.
Mm.
And they're a traditional, I guess, piece of jewellery. Yeah? Like, I mean, what do they signify in terms of...
Well, there's a couple of photographs of people wearing the kangaroo tooth necklace. So when you consider that there are only two bottom incisor teeth that you can use from any one kangaroo, because that's all they have,
mm-hmm.
is you would need an awful lot of kangaroos to make, you know, even a 27-tooth necklace or a 75-tooth necklace, which is what they have in the Melbourne Museum. So I dare say that the person who wore that necklace would be of high status in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And high standing. So I guess it's like, you know, we look at pearl necklaces as being the longer they are, the more they signify wealth, and that's pretty much the same with these kangaroo teeth necklaces. Yeah,
much. So the NGV have, like, you know, the biggest so far. And Nicholas and I went travelling up to Alice Springs earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
and collected something like 300 teeth. And that was all the way to Alice Springs and back. Just, it's fantastic.
Because conceptually you've got this, I guess, if I could be a bit of an art wanker here on air, but but conceptually you've got this thing around, I guess, finding roadkill, I guess, and then mm-hmm. using that to I guess, make your necklaces. And I mean, I look at that and I think, well, you know, you're basically taking from this process of, I guess, destruction, for want of a better word, and reclaiming that in an indigenous sense. Is that, you know, your conceptual process that you're going through, or is that something you think about when you do your...
Yeah, well, I guess that kangaroo hasn't died in vain, and it's living again through an item, an object, like a cultural item we've recreated from that roadkill, which is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. It's Emma and Brian here chatting to Marie Clark. We'll be back.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
To right, you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Emma and Brian here, and we're chatting to Marie Clark, another Aboriginal person like Kathy Freeman, who is an artist of Muddy Muddy heritage. You're also Yorta Yorta, Bunurong, and what's the other one? Muddy and Wamba Wamba, yeah, in terms of heritage, yeah?
Yeah, well, I was born on Wamba country.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And sort of connection back to Palawa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maria, I just wanted to ask, so I went and had a look at the exhibition at 45 Downstairs on the weekend. Now, you've got some work displayed there, the River Reed necklaces and mm-hmm. some breastplates as well, and mm-hmm. then some large digital prints of people wearing some of those items.
Mm.
The necklaces in particular, I love them, and they're just so big. I think they're about 480 centimetres long or something like that. So I'm just interested to hear a little bit about them, what their significance is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Many moons ago, I think Robinson documented these river reed necklaces that were given by people around Boonwurrung country to people passing through or to friends. And I think there was one with about 10 strands. It was quite a small necklace. And I thought for this exhibition that my gallery, Vivian Anderson Gallery, wanted to put on at 45 downstairs, I thought I would supersize them. And so we tried to make them like, I think, 50 metres. I think they ended up being, you know, 48 metres long. And the ones that were originally documented, they were plain river reed necklaces. And for the ones that I made, I wanted to add some feathers. So basically that was going out looking for roadkill, any galah feathers, white cockatoos, green parrots, taking them home, getting Nicholas to pluck them and and airing them out and, you know, getting rid of all the bugs and then also collecting the reeds. Well, Nicholas and our little fluffy dog, Miri, would go down to the Maribyrnong or anywhere where we found these reeds and cut them down and bring them home. And that's a whole process in itself of collecting these reeds, drying them out a little bit, getting all the outer husks off, mm-hmm. binding them maybe in four clumps together because they're quite tall. They're about 3 metres tall. And then cutting them into those small sections, unwrapping them, like just that whole process. And then we had some of Nicholas's friends down who are at home at the moment still working on necklaces for us. So thanks, Christy and Damien, who are home working away with you, Nicholas. They came down and I think they spent something like 3 days in our little chill-out space out the back drilling seeds. It was an amazing process. And then the next process was to glue those little feathers into those reeds. And initially we tried using the wattle gum, mm-hmm. but that process was so long and tedious, yep. and the glue would just about dry before you got it onto the reed, so we had to ditch that and use other means.
And I guess one of the interesting things, you're talking about roadkill and, you know, getting your pieces from the road and it's meaty and you're a vegan,
I'm the vegan.
So Nicholas, that's where Nicholas comes in,
Yeah, no, it's good. I think he quite enjoys that. That's a bit of a, you know, I think there's a real men's and women's business involved mm-hmm. here where, you know, I'll design and lay things out and he'll...
Do the hunting, eh?
Do the hunting and gathering, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good fun.
We've got a question from a special listener at home. It's Kath, and she says, "Hey, guys, Marie grew up in Mildura. Can she talk about her upbringing a bit? And she wants to know, has coming from a country town informed your life and your work?"
Oh, absolutely. I know earlier on when I first moved to Melbourne and started making jewellery, and I used to supply a lot of boutique shops, my family up home would still collect seeds and different bits and pieces for me to make my jewellery down here. Mm-hmm. And I tend to like to go home to collect materials for my work down here. So it then becomes that real connection to country. I know for the big show at the Art Centre, Nyabunya.
The Melbourne International Arts Festival show?
That Bindi Cole curated in 2010. For those particular sticks that were used for that exhibition, I travelled up home in the work van. Mm-hmm. And my brother took me out bush to country where that mourning practices were from and helped me collect all these big 3 metre sticks that I then brought back to Melbourne straight into the Melbourne Museum freezer to kill any bugs, and then displayed those. That exhibition was fantastic.
I guess on that, that's sort of like, I guess, to give some our listeners and some context, is the copycaps that you've created. And copycaps were used to, I guess, as a sign of mourning, yeah?
Yeah, so that was sort of along the Murray-Darling, but also went as far up into to Queensland. And I think in WA I've seen images in Berlin of people with the same mourning marking and caps, but I've also, in the last few months, Kent Morris actually sent me some documents of men wearing the Kopi caps and having the white clay in their beard and on their face as a sign of mourning. But traditionally, women would cut their hair off, weave a net of emu sinew, place it on their head, and then plaster their head with gypsum weighing up to 7 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of research at the Melbourne Museum. They have something like 85 Kopi mourning caps. And for the different areas, the design in the weave of the emu sinew is quite different to each different group, which is amazing.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. You're listening to Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9. We're chatting to Marie Clark about her art, her practice, her culture, her heritage, her Kopi caps, and her jewellery. And we'll be back. If you've got any questions you'd like to throw at Marie or ask about what she gets up to with her art, you can SMS us in on 0427 Joy 949. You can phone Gordy out there on the desk. He's on 1300 Joy 949. Or you can email us, as Kath has done, via onair@joy.org.au.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
That's right, you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here with Brian and Emma, and we're chatting to Marie Clark, an Aboriginal artist from up Mildura way.
And Marie, you got married on Saturday to Nicholas. Why don't you tell us about that? And then I believe that you came back to Melbourne and collected some roadkill on your way back, so we can hear about that as well.
We did get married on the weekend up in Mildura at my brother's place. I had an artist residency earlier this year in Switzerland, which Nicholas came travelling with me, and we went down to Florence and Rome and all over the place, and took him to Prato in Tuscany, one of my favourite little places on the planet, which is where he proposed.
Yeah.
So we tried to
that
get married overseas.
So unromantic.
He even got down on one knee.
Really?
He did. And yeah, we tried to get married over there, but of course we didn't take all the proper paperwork. That was just too much hard work. So we thought we'd do that when we got back, and travelled up there. That was good fun. And then started collecting roadkill on the way home.
That was the honeymoon,
Yes, which will continue for the rest of this week. We hope we're going to do another trip somewhere else. But it was funny on the way home. Friends that had left before us were texting, saying, "Oh, Marie, there's a dead kangaroo like 10Ks out of Redcliffs." So Nicholas would stop and get the teeth out. And further down the road, there was a dead galah, and Nicholas's mum was in the car with me, so she said, "Oh, Marie, do you want me to get it?" So I'd pull up and she'd grab it and I'd held the bag out. Yeah, that was good. It was a good trip. And then by the time we got home, Nicholas's son Tobias was in the car, and he said, "Oh, Marie, do you want me to pluck those birds?" So we ended up with two galahs and two green parrots, and he just straight away plucked the birds, which were now turning into jewellery. Mm.
And
good.
What, I mean, you've mentioned roos, you've mentioned birds, galahs, and what other roadkill do you find for your practice or your work?
Echidnas. I got a text message from Liz one day, Liz Little. Thanks, Liz. She'd seen a dead echidna, and just whatever I think we might be able to turn into a piece of jewellery, or some beautiful piece of art,
yeah,
we will. We'll stop and collect it. Like when we did the big trip in January, we borrowed my brother's big Waco Esky, which mm-hmm. was full of food. And on the way home, we saw something like 12 dead eagles. We took all of the food out of the Esky, got 6 dead eagles in the Esky,
yeah,
and all the rest of the roadkill. Because the car stank so much. It was terrible. Yeah. No, it was good fun. Everything's about art. Mm.
You do a fair bit of work as well, I believe, mentoring and supporting young Aboriginal artists. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the work that you do there?
Yeah, well, that's one of the ones that I'm really passionate about is working with VACA, the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency. For the last few years, they've been running art mentoring programs, and I've been lucky enough to be involved in those and working with the young kids from Little Tackers who are in care that come along, and we made possum skin cloaks with those kids and getting them to create their design, also helping sew these cloaks and adding ochre and colour to the cloaks. And their cloak was on exhibition, I think, earlier this year or last year at the Melbourne Museum. And then just recently, during NAIDOC week, we finished working with about 6 young kids on the art mentoring. And I showed them a range of different works that I do, from jewellery making to, you know, making koolamans out of plaster, making giant shields, painting on canvas. And I asked the kids what they would like to do, and basically they just wanted to do everything, so we got them to do as much as we could. So they painted shields, canvases, jewellery, and the koolamans, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. You've mentioned the possum skin cloaks. Mm-hmm. You were involved in a project for the Commonwealth Games back in 2006 with making some cloaks.
That was fantastic. That was working with Vicky Cousins, Lee Darrick and Trina Hamm. And after the girls had done a lot of research at the Melbourne Museum, and it's around that revival of cultural practices again, that was Vicky's sort of brainchild to then work with the 38 tribes of Victoria to recreate these cloaks for the Commonwealth Games. And that was incredible. So basically we split the state into 4 and we each took a section of the state each. So from the 38 tribes, we ended up with 35, I think, cloaks for the opening ceremony. And that was amazing. So since then, we have been running workshops in Southeast Australia, teaching cloak making. So as far up into, like, Newcastle and probably 3 different groups up there, mm-hmm. all the way down the coast, down to a little place near Eden, another town just further up from there, yeah. All around Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales.
Yeah. Now, Emma, my co-host, is actually involved with urban planning, and you've actually done some public art stuff. But I just want to ask Emma, I mean, where does public art fit into, I mean, and it could be personal perception, into, I guess, a community or a cityscape or within urban planning? Why is it important?
Look, it would be good if it's... it's not something that, I mean, in my role that we can have too much direct influence on. It would be nice if we could, because I'd like to see, you know, more public art everywhere, basically. My ability to influence that is a little bit limited, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it is something that, you know, local governments and different agencies, you know, are working, you know, I think to see more of that realised.
Because you've done some stuff in a few councils, like in Moreland, and I think you did some work out in Dandenong Way, or like I'm thinking of those, are they like those eggs or the...
Frog Dreaming.
Yeah, Frog Dreaming. Tell us about that.
That one's out at Point Cook.
Yep.
So it's around about 30 big spheres made in six parts out of stainless steel. Yep. I think that's about 3 mil thick stainless, spun stainless steel. And it's meant to represent a clump of frog eggs based on the growling grassland frog, which is an endangered species of frog. And that was with Vicky Cousins and Jeff Neal through Artery Co-op in Northcote. And, yeah, that was amazing. So Vicky and I would tender for the public art project, approach Jeff, who project manages and is an artist himself and engineer guy, and they're just brilliant out there and help us realise our little sketches or our dreams, basically.
And how does it feel to kind of, I guess, to see in a landscape your work? And like, it's a big statement, I guess, in terms of public art. It kind of makes people think and it gives a sense of space and identity to an area. How does it feel as an artist to see your work, I guess, celebrated in such a public way? Or a permanent way, even.
No, it feels great when you see your work out there, sort of larger than life. And what I love about the sculptures that Vicky and I have created with Artery Co-op or with Jeff Neal is that we've got the frog eggs out at Point Cook, the giant bronze kangaroo apple with the Murnong flower out at Frankston, and a big Bunjil's feather out in Oakley. And they're not identifiably Aboriginal artworks. You have to now then go and do the research and find out, you know, why the big giant 20 mil thick stainless steel feather is sitting in the middle of, you know, I think it's Dandenong Road, one of those roads that travel out that way. And then down at Frankston on the foreshore, near this really nice restaurant, is this giant kangaroo apple, which is about 3 metres long and, you know, 1.5 high, with a Murnong flower on it. Now, when the eels came back from their travels, the Murnong flower would be out and the kangaroo apple would be on the tree. And the mob down there at the time, the Bunurong, would gather on the beach and have a big corroboree, and the women would pick the daisies and the Murnong and create these little daisy chains to wear in their hair. So, you know, if people sort of see these objects, go do some more research, find out more about it.
And hear the stories of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And also Aunty Carolyn Briggs, she, we've done, like for the kangaroo apple, that was based on one of her stories. Yeah.
Oh, I was just like I'm just sort of getting.
I thought we were doing sign language.
Yeah, like getting carried away with this conversation. But you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Brian, Emma, and Marie Clark. We're doing sign languages here in the studio. But we'll be back after these announcements and this music.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, Lefty Pinkos with Brian and Emma, and that was Jeffrey Gurumul Yunupingu, or Gurumul rather, Jeffrey Yunupingu, an amazing artist from Yolngu country or northeast Arnhem Land, and that's his song Wokan, about clouds. So if they seem to be hanging in our skies a lot in Melbourne here of late, so we're chatting to Marie Clark, an artist of Aboriginal heritage who has got some amazing stuff in the Melbourne Museum in the Bundjalaka permanent exhibition, her Kopi caps. She presented in the Melbourne Now exhibition as part of this year, and she's got an exhibition that's on at 45 downstairs that both Emma and I have checked out, and it's exquisite stuff, jewellery, photographs, and also a group exhibition, and it's called North South. East-West, and it's at 45 downstairs at 45 Flinders Lane. But I guess, yeah, it's a group exhibition, Marie, and you've got Richard Adagi, is that his name? Or?
No, Ricardo.
Oh, Ricardo, yeah.
Ricardo Adagi.
Yep.
Vicky West. Peggy and Phyllis from Warman Community, Turkey Creek. Who else is there? Oh, Vicky from Tasmania, Vicky West, Palawa woman, myself, and Josh, I think his name.
James Tyler, James, I think, Tyler, as well.
Yeah, who I only met the day of the opening, yeah. So, no, we decided to call it sort of north, south, east and west because all of these different artists are coming from all different places and I, for one, don't know the language words for north, south, east and west.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So do you know much about, like, language, I guess? Have you ever incorporated language into your work or is it more just cultural practices?
Mainly reviving cultural practice, mm-hmm. but I don't really have access to language. I know we've got the Victorian Aboriginal Language Corporation here in Melbourne, and I think it's just that whole process. That's another sort of little brain space thing for me to do, mm-hmm. yeah.
Actually, I'm going to channel Kath and just, I guess, Kath always loves to get into, I guess, people's sex lives and love. And you've been married, but I guess what is it about your husband that attracted you to him? And, yeah, and what made you say yes? That's about as, you know, kind of into it as I'll get.
Well, I guess before we left for Switzerland, which sort of took us down to Italy, in February, I guess working together and just laughing, mm-hmm. like I'm talking crying, laughing yes. on the way to work and on the way home. And yeah, we just grew closer together. Then by the time we hit Italy, and that was his first trip overseas, and I think he just loved it mm-hmm. and loved what I did, which mm-hmm. is basically travel the world as an artist and share our cultural knowledge and, you know, everything over there with lots of different people.
And you'd already spent some time in Italy. Did you do an artist residency there?
Yeah, not last year, the year before, I think it was, with Monash University. And so again applied to do a three-month artist residency. And got to live in Prato, in Tuscany, for 3 months. But I went there via Cuba, so invited by the Australian government to exhibit in Cuba with Wayne Quillam and Belgo community. Mm-hmm. And that was through Richard Jamieson and Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. And that was amazing to spend 2 weeks in Cuba. My work turned up and one of the crates were a bit wet, but luckily my work was laminated and, you know, all the water got dissipated and stuff. Mm-hmm. But working in a country where they don't have the resources and stuff that we have, and I took, you know, my little toolkit and all that sort of stuff and drills and basically left all of my tools there with them and all of my timber that I use for my plinths, left all of that there so that they could reuse that. Then went on to Italy and did that artist residency. And that was fantastic and showed ritual and ceremony both in Cuba and Italy and London. Mm-hmm. So from the artist residency in Prato, I then went up to Sweden to be the keynote speaker at the European Museums Conference. So all of those different curators from all the museums around Europe came together in Stockholm, and it was just fantastic, again, to meet all these other curators that look after our collections of material cultural items. The Australian collections over there was great, so I've been invited back to other museums to do more research, which I hope to do. I don't know, a little bit further down the track.
So do you have any other travel plans confirmed at this stage?
I know I've got Hobart March next year. I've got an exhibition coming up, a group exhibition I can't even think of the title off the top of my head right now, but it's being curated by a woman who's living in London, mm-hmm. Australian woman, curating the show at the Salamanca Arts Centre, mm-hmm. I think it is. Yeah, that should be good. But no, certainly hope to go back to Europe soon. Mm.
If you've been listening to us, it's been a fantastic conversation Emma and I have been having with Marie Clark, an artist who is part of a group exhibition called North South East West, and it's on at 45 Downstairs at 45 Flinders Lane in Melbourne. And we encourage you to get along and check out the work because it's pretty special, isn't it, Emma?
It's amazing.
It's like, yeah, it's beautiful.
I absolutely loved it. Everybody should get down there and have a look.
And if you maybe missed that, it's on until like it's only on for about a week or so more, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if
until
you do,
Saturday.
Yeah, until this Saturday. So get down and check it out. And if you don't get down to 45 Downstairs, I guess check out Marie's work as part of the permanent exhibition in at Bundjalaka, which is at the Melbourne Museum. But I guess just on behalf of the team with Lefty Pinkers and us mob here at Joy 94.9, I just want to say thanks, Marie, for coming in and having such an insightful chat to us this evening, I guess. So, yeah, it's kind of been nice to get into your work. And yeah, and just I guess it's sort of incited in me a sense of curiosity around, you know, what you place in those landscapes or what you do with your work and I guess the questions it poses and, yeah.
Mm.
And I guess the culture it maintains. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Marie.
No worries.
And a shout out quickly too to my cousin Morel, who is I won't give away her age, but it's her birthday today. So I just want to say happy birthday, Morel. And yeah, tune in next week with Lefty Pinkers. We're going to be chatting to Uncle Richard Franklin, another Aboriginal man who has got his show Walking Into the Bigness down at the Malthouse Theatre. But yeah, tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. here on Lefty Pinkers.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.